Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you're listening to QLV. QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, brings leading-edge conversations about LGBTQI+ culture and community of the Lehigh Valley to WDIY listeners every month, including interviews with our neighbors, elected officials, and community leaders that will inspire acceptance and inclusion. I am your host, Justin Parker Fields, he, him, his pronouns, and I want to thank you for your support, as we know you could be doing anything right now, but we're glad you're here with us tonight. We're pretty lucky here in the Lehigh Valley. Not only do we get to celebrate Pride with the rest of the world every June in New York, we get to do it all over again, homestyle edition, at Lehigh Valley Pride held in August, brought to you by the Bradbury Sullivan LGBTQ Center. Pride started out as a protest, and today, we continue that tradition in celebration, activism, awareness, inclusion, and togetherness. We have some superstars in the building tonight. I'm joined by Eric Yoke, Major Events Manager at Bradbury Sullivan Center, and Ariel Torres, former Pride Programs Manager at Bradbury Sullivan and newly promoted Associate Director at Lehigh University's Pride Center. Now, this pairing wasn't just random. These two heavy hitters are all connected. Eric is responsible for bringing Pride to the Valley this year, and we get to honor one of its Grand Marshals, Ariel Torres. I myself had the awesome opportunity of being the Grand Marshal at last year's Pride with our Congresswoman Susan Wild. Eric and Ariel, welcome to QLV.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Eric, Major Events Manager. Now, that is major, pun intended. What are your responsibilities with this job role?
So with the Major Events Manager role, I am in charge of overseeing the logistics of the Pride Festival every year. I also handle our annual gala. I handle monthly events such as our Work It Wednesdays, our newly installed drag brunches. I work with our partners on that. Basically, any type of outreach program that does not happen at Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center is something that I do.
That's pretty awesome. And I had the opportunity, along with my mom, who even came down, and Kevin, to the gala last year. That was my first time going to the gala, and it was amazing.
It was my first time going to the gala this year in March. I actually started the second or first week of March, and then they immediately said, hey, 2 weeks, we have our annual gala. It's huge. Be ready for it. And I said, great. They really had me hit the ground sprinting, but it was an amazing event. I was so proud of the work that we got to do, and I can't wait to facilitate it for next year.
That's awesome. And Ariel, you actually emceed at the gala. How much fun was that for you?
Oh, that's always a lot of fun. I've actually emceed the gala the last few years. It's important to give that back to the community, so that's usually my free gig that I do for the Bradbury Sullivan Center every year, amongst other things. But hosting the gala is just filled with so many community leaders in one place that just support our community. So it's, just heartwarming to just be in a position where I can bring it all together and kind of be the voice on that stage that keeps it going. It's quite an honor. And, I'll keep doing it as long as they keep wanting me to.
That's awesome. It was a fun time. Now, Eric, this might be hard, but after all the planning that you and your team did, what's the one thing you're looking forward to most for Pride Month?
The nap after. I think that what I'm really just looking forward to the most is I'm so excited to see this community come out in full support. I am new to the Lehigh Valley. I moved up here at the beginning of March, and I cannot wait to see the support and to see the celebration and everyone just being authentically themselves at Pride. I've got to see little tastes of it here and there at some of our events and some of the things that we do, and it's really such a great anticipation to see that, because as we mentioned, gala is really where we get to celebrate the work that we've done. Pride is really where we get to celebrate the community that we get to work with. And I cannot speak more highly of looking forward to that.
That's so awesome. Now, Ariel, you are no stranger to Lehigh Valley Pride, as you previously held the title of Pride Programs Manager. What does it mean to you to come back this year as one of the Grand Marshals?
It's going to be a little surreal. Helped bring Pride to us the last 4 years, especially the hardest one being during the pandemic, where we had to switch everything to virtual. So Pride has kind of been, like a little baby of mine, but I'm so happy that they have Eric there to see it through. I did what I could when I left. I left like a Pride Bible with a whole bunch of ins and outs of Pride, and hope that it would just help the next person usher in that new age of celebrating Pride here in the Lehigh Valley. But it's going to be fun to kind of participate this year. I remember my Fitbit last year walked over 18 miles in one day, just running back and forth and, running on a donut and one coffee all day. So trust me, I'm no stranger to the hard work that goes behind building a Pride Festival like this. So I'm just happy that I don't have to run around for 18 miles. And hopefully, Eric, you only have to do about 5 to 10.
Ariel really did leave behind a great footprint for Pride for us to be able to work with and to develop Pride as it continues to grow. And it's really important. And that's one reason why we asked Ariel to be Grand Marshal or one of the Grand Marshals, is because Ariel has always been on the behind-the-scenes portion of it and has always been planning it. And now it's time to celebrate the work that he's done and also let Electra Fierce St. James have a spot at Pride, because she has never been able to come out at Pride.
Really?
Yeah, it's too much work to do drag and do it all. I learned that the first year that I did it, I did drag, and we had to move the festival. It actually got rained out at Cedar Beach. There was a flood, so we had to... Yeah, there's been, like, a lot of history behind, like, last-minute changes, like, in Pride. but, yeah, so we had to find that new location, and since we had to relocate everything, we just rolled with the punches. I did MC that year, but it was very hard, let's just say that. So that's why I kind of took a back seat for a couple years and wasn't able to really participate and perform the way that I would have liked to. But, you know, it was important to just make sure the job was getting done that day and putting Electra to the side, because Lehigh Valley sees a lot of her already. So, but she's happy to be back at Pride this year.
That's awesome. We're happy to have her back, as I'm sure everyone else is also. Ariel, in what ways do you get to continue to advocate for our community as the new associate director of Lehigh University's Pride Center?
Wow, that's such a good question. So, you know, when students come to Lehigh University, they become a part of our community, you know, hopefully for at least 4 years, especially those who go into, like, graduate studies, they can be here a little longer. And I wanted to make sure that they knew that the Lehigh Valley was a place that was flourishing in LGBT arts, culture, and a very, very supportive place to be. So I want them to know that there's a home here. So I'm just trying to kind of usher in that generation and letting them know about the Bradbury Sullivan Center, letting them know about, you know, Novus, letting them know about Eastern PA Trans Equity Project, Allentown Women's Center. There's just so much LGBT-affirming care that the Lehigh Valley has to offer here. And in large part, it's because of community members getting up and doing what needs to be done and creating these spaces. So I just want them to know, like, hey, if you are a part of the LGBTQ+ community and you're here at Lehigh, consider staying with us for a while. You know, you can be our community member for more than 4 years, because this is a great place to live. I've lived here my entire life and enjoy creating these spaces for people to thrive as their authentic selves.
That's awesome. And congratulations again on the new gig. We're all super proud of you.
Thank you.
Now, Eric, let's say fill our listeners in on, but a lot of times people think that Pride in August here is just Pride Day, like that Sunday. But there's a lot of other events that take place prior to that, right? You guys can't see because it's radio, but he just exhaled right now. What are some of the other events and things that go on this month?
So leading up to Pride, by the time that this airs, we will have had our first Work It Wednesday in August, which was hosted by Clan Inn at Sports and Social. That was our Lehigh Valley Pride Work It Wednesday. We will be having a special Lehigh Valley Pride drag brunch at Sports and Social hosted by Miss Honey Mustard, featuring entertainment that will be current performers at Pride this year or previous performers, as well as on the 11th, we have Electra Fierce St. James and Clan Anne. They, every month on the second Thursday of the month, they do Proud in Silk at Fegley's Brew Works in the Silk Lounge. And so that is another great pre-Pride event. And then, one that I did forget that will be happening by the time that this airs, we do have the flag raising on August 16th, where we will be ringing in the week of Lehigh Valley Pride and taking the time to recognize the support that the community is giving us for Lehigh Valley Pride. And it's going to be a great time. You get to see the progressive Pride flag raised in Allentown. And coming from Eastern Kentucky, where that's not the most celebrated, it's so hard to fathom that this is such a supportive area.
Yeah, and the flag is actually going to be raised for a week, right?
Yes, it'll be raised until after Lehigh Valley Pride has ended.
That's awesome. I definitely will be happy to be in attendance for that. It's awesome that there's, you know, even though there's a long way to go in Pennsylvania and statewide and even county and citywide, it's great to have an awesome administration, the mayor's administration, to support these things and not just support it at face value, but, you know, to really stand behind it and make sure that, you know, we're seen and we're heard and we're respected and involved and included. So that's a real good feeling. That's a real good feeling.
Amen.
Now, Eric, you mentioned that you just came to the area. Mm-hmm. where did you come from? What's your background with the community and the work that you do with it?
So I was born and raised in Eastern Kentucky in a little coal town named Willard, Kentucky. And I grew up, you know, I was always very different from the kids that I grew up with. I had all of the Spice Girl dolls and I had, you know, the pink Power Ranger stuff. And I was obsessed with these powerful, strong women. And, you know, I got to see the confidence in people like Christina Aguilera and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and Lita Ford, and all of these different powerful feminine creatures. And I was always kind of pushed away for that. And then, you know, I came out at 14 in the Bible Belt, which was very, very intriguing considering most people had dial-up internet at that time. And there wasn't that much information out there, but I just knew, you know, I'm different and I need to learn to be okay with that. And so that began my journey of doing that. And then in college, I started getting involved with the LGBTQ community on campus. I went to Morehead State University. For those who are unfamiliar with Morehead State, if you remember a lovely woman named Kim Davis, who decided that she was not going to issue marriage licenses to anyone because of her religious beliefs, it was right down the road from there. And then after that, I stayed involved with the community. I started doing drag, started volunteering with LGBTQ nonprofits. I moved to Florida and worked at a LGBTQ nonprofit there with LGBTQ teens, and then ended up here in the Lehigh Valley. And I am so happy to be here. Every experience that I've led to has led me here. And I think, you know, whether they were good or bad, they've led me to a great place with great support. As Ariel said, it's such a great location to be in.
Well, we're super glad to have you in the Valley. I mean, you've already been doing some amazing things in, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit. Obviously, I know how cliche that sounds, but I think with your creativity and your enthusiasm and your motivation and your wit, I think you're gonna do great here, and as you already have been. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to QLV with our special guest, Eric and Ariel. When we come back, we're going to dive into Pride Day and what Pride means to our guest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio.
Welcome back to QLV. We are here with Eric Yoke and Ariel Torres. Now, Ariel, some of our listeners out there who don't identify as LGBTQIA+ might question how to be an ally to our community. What advice would you give them?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, allyship to me is much more than just actually coming to the Pride Festival. It's a phrase that I like to use as accomplice, right? And though people's brains go right away to, you know, accomplices mean something bad, right? Like you help somebody commit a crime. And accompliceship in this sense basically means that you are helping that person, you know, with what's going on. So I think active allyship is something that's ongoing. It's, you know, whether you're pioneering at work for better policies that are more inclusive, it could just be such a plethora of things other than just saying like, hey, I'm supportive. It's just like going in and showing how you can be supportive by making room at tables at which some people in our community might not have access to, you know, clearing the way and making sure that those voices are heard and that they're being treated fairly and equally for a more equitable community. So, I mean, I can go on and on with examples, but we'll just go with that. Policy is usually like my favorite go-to because, you know, we're not always encompassed when it comes to policy, especially like in the workplace. So that's pretty much what I would say.
Yeah, and in the spirit of Family Feud here, Eric, I'm going to ask you the same thing. 100 people were surveyed. No, but what does showing up as an ally look like to you?
For me, a lot of what Ariel said rings true to what it means. You know, active allyship to me is the key of what Ariel said. you have to be active in the work that you're doing. And I think that one thing that I would add is, you know, I, as a cis white man, have a lot of privilege whenever it comes to society and things. And part of allyship, whether it be in terms of, you know, sexual orientation, gender identity, visible disabilities, you know, housing security, anything like that, those of us with privilege need to step back and step out of the spotlight sometimes and let other people use our platform the way that they can, so that way we can make sure all of the voices are heard. I can't speak to the experience of somebody who grew up as a trans Black woman in the South. That's not my story. That's not my experience. I can step aside and let them use my platform and what I do and let them share their experience, because that's the only way that we grow, is by hearing those stories and learning to empathize and learning to find those injustices and help move forward as a community towards a more equitable future.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned that, because allyship also occurs within our own community as well, because there are different, you know, we are the LGBTQIA+, and as a gay Black man, my experience isn't the same experience as others. And so as much as, you know, we in our own identity want to advocate and want to support and want to, you know, protest and everything, it is important to step aside and let voices for that story come to the forefront. It's not taken away from anything that you're doing or from your identity, but, you know, allyship isn't just external, it's internal. So I love how you both brought that up.
That's awesome. Intersection is real. And, you know, if you want to pull up for, you should pull up for any diverse marginalized community, right? Because it's the only way that we're all going to have a voice at the table. So I just want to say that allyship extends to me beyond the LGBTQ+ community. Allyship to me is showing up for all marginalized communities.
I'm definitely getting that put on a t-shirt. The intersection is real. So I hope you don't have that like copywritten or anything like that, because I'm definitely getting to put on a t-shirt, maybe a tank top now, since Eric has me on a tank top.
As long as you put my picture on, it will be good.
I got you. Now, Eric, our community is hit hard by crime that often introduces them to the criminal justice system. In your opinion, what can lawmakers do to make our legal system more equitable for LGBTQ folks?
As much as I love the term equitable, I think that we can go even further and make it just and find justice in all of that. And I think by doing that, we have to, like I said, listen to those stories of the people that are in those marginalized communities and learn from that experience of those people in the, like, the prison systems who have been placed there just because of the color of their skin, the people who have to deal with a different set of rules because of visible disabilities or invisible disabilities. We have to recognize that we, in those positions of power, are not the ones who will always be the smartest person in the room, because we are not omnipresent. We don't know everything. And as tough of a pill as that is to swallow, these lawmakers who are, you know, saying that they're wanting to work for us and work with us, they have to listen to us and they have to recognize that they can only speak so far. And it's time to give that microphone or pass that gauntlet to somebody else to share their experience and their moment, because as you said, your experience as a Black gay man is very different than somebody else's. My experience as a white gay man is very different from somebody who has been through the prison system because of the color of their skin or where they're from or how they identify. Yeah. And we have to do better. We have to work at making it better. And that comes from listening instead of just trying to talk over one another.
Y'all are speaking a word today.
I was going to say, and can I just add that there can be a whole lesson plan taught around the difference between equality and equity. Like, they are not one and the same.
At all. So, Ariel, you and your alter ego, Electrofear St. James. I just snapped. Oh, your snap was louder than my snap. That was good.
It's because I also have the alter ego, so I had to learn how to do it really well.
Man. Now, you both have been a mainstay here in the Lehigh Valley for many years. I came up with Ariel in our 20s. I'm not going to say our age.
Last year.
We just turned 21. But how did your journey start from then to now?
Oh, gosh. Like, my journey was just somebody who just didn't know what they wanted to do. Started college and was like, I don't even know what my major is supposed to be. And, you know, ended up going and finding community in a place like Stonewall, seeing the drag show. I did drag on as a birthday present to a friend of mine who did drag already. And then when I realized that it can be an art form and lucrative at times, and also can be very expensive, but at times lucrative, it just it called to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could be doing this. So it really did shape a lot of my 20s and early 30s. But what I feel drag has done for me is helped me embrace myself and realize that Ariel and Electra are one and the same person. And together, we were able to get through life and make decisions like, you know, I'm not going to do the regular 9-to-5 job. I want to do professional work in the LGBTQ plus community, which is what led me to the Bradbury Sullivan Center. And then later on, eventually, as you know, to Lehigh. So, my alter ego saved me, really helped me realize that we're one and the same and we're worth it and we can do anything.
That's so inspiring. And a lot of times it's hard to differentiate, I would say, between Ariel and Electra, because you both are like one in the same. Like, we get, like, you know, when, like, Beyonce and Sasha Fierce are different because Beyonce is, like, more shy and timid. Yes. Sasha Fierce is out there. But really, it's hard sometimes to differentiate Ariel and Electra because you are both one and the same and you're both fierce.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, of course. And just to say, like, you know, coming up with Ariel back in the day, Ariel always had a suitcase. Always had a suitcase. It was heavy. For class, she'd be dragging that thing. But just the work that you put in out here in the Lehigh Valley on the scene, I think everyone is aware, if not already, who you are and what that cartwheel into a split brings. And you're still doing it. Like, my knees are hurting right now, and I can't even do a cartwheel. So let alone a split.
Trust me, just because I do it don't mean I don't feel it the next day. I do it for the people.
For the people, see? We're all self-serving. Now, I'll let whoever take a crack at this one first, but what does pride mean to you?
Well, since there's quiet, I guess I'll go first. So, to me, pride means visibility. Pride means love. Pride means community. Pride, it just means all together. Just living as my full authentic self out in the open and proud of who I am and saying that I deserve the same as everyone else. You know, I really get upset sometimes when they're like, well, there's not a straight pride. There's not this pride. Well, you know what? Sometimes your rights aren't up for discussion at the table of the political standpoints, you know? So it's important that I am visible, that we recognize that pride is much more than just a parade and drag. Pride started as a revolution, right? It was a riot. Because they just weren't going to take it anymore. And I think it's important to take that history with us into the future and know that we have to not only, especially in today's political landscape, not only do we have to fight for our rights, we are still fighting to just keep our rights. And I think that that's important to do, is to stay visible, because the more if we were to fall into the background, then the more we're not going to be able to be present and to show up and to let people know that this is us and this is how we should be treated. And I, for one, refuse to be faded into the background and always on the forefront of fighting for our rights.
I can agree with Ariel on that. There's something that I always take into everything that I do, and it's something that Ariel said, and it's living authentically as yourself. Pride to me is so many different things. Pride is love. Pride is anger. Pride is frustration. Pride is beauty and ugly. But in all of those things, pride is authentic. Mm. You know, you have to be authentically yourself and feel that pride within, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is how I do it, and this is how I can do what I do to help others. And that's where pride really comes from, is from that authenticity of it. And Ariel said it, you know, pride was not always corporations coming out and having festivals and coming out and, you know, everything's hunky-dory with rainbows and drag queens. Pride is fighting for your everyday existence. And it's about recognizing the fight that we've done, but the fight that's still going on and the fights that we will still have to do. And again, Ariel kind of said it because we think along the same lines, but I'll use a quote from the early 2000s hit movie, What a Girl Wants, with Amanda Bynes.
Oh, my.
Why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? That the first time I saw that, I didn't understand it because I was young and I was like, oh, just a movie with Amanda Bynes and a cute boy, not recognizing that I thought he was a cute boy. But you know, it's true. Why try so hard to assimilate whenever you were born to be so much more than that? And that's where a lot of people get confused, is they think that that inclusion is, they think it's assimilation. They think they're the same thing and they're not. Inclusion is celebrating everyone as authentically themselves. Yeah. Assimilation is trying to make everyone the same.
Wow. Man, that was heavy but needed. I appreciate y'all for those responses, because you have people who are listening in, tuning into our show right now who are relating to what you're saying, and maybe they aren't at the stage where they're comfortable or don't have the support system. So to hear, you know, and have these two powerhouses on who are authentically them and advocate and fight for our community and within our community, it's amazing to see. Ariel, real quick, do you have your Grand Marshal outfit picked out yet?
It's actually currently being made.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a hot day, so I made sure that it was going to be, you know, something red, a little flowy, a little gownish. I chose the color red instead of going with the rainbow because I wanted to focus on love. Because at the Pride Center, our theme, our intentional focus this year is love is activism, right? Mm-hmm. And it has to come from a place of love. And that's how we work at the Pride Center. We work from a place of love. We're doing the work of love, and love is activism, is pulling up and doing all those things. So I chose red, and the outfit's getting worked on as we speak.
Well, there you go. Well, I wanted to thank both of you for making time for our show today. I wanted our listeners to get a chance to see for themselves, or in this case, hear for themselves, as to why I think you're both amazing. Thank you for the effort and the work that you put into our community on a daily basis. Our city, our county, and even our state are all better places to exist because of the work that you put in on a daily basis. Eric and Ariel, thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Thank you. Also, shout out to the Honorable Judge Linda Vega, who is the other Grand Marshal and is also making waves and is a visible out judge in our community. And I live for that. So
boom.
You're here.
You're here. And thank you to our listeners also for making this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on all other major podcast platforms. I'm Justin Parker Fields, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on QLV.